Okay. Blog Talk Radio.
Start with 216 area codes and 757 all the way down the line. I see some familiar numbers. How are you? And the lines are now open. All right. Starting with 216 area code. Please make sure I'm not playing in the background. It makes for bad radio. 216 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, my brother. The floor is yours.
Sax player.
Oh, I know who you are. Let's go. What you want to talk about?
Yeah, that school stuff with the children and stuff, that's kind of crazy. When I was growing up, we had the Pledge of Allegiance and all of that and Lord's Prayer and everything like that. But what's crazy, I go to AA meetings, and every time we finish a AA meeting, we say the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Every time.
That's good.
And, you know, yeah, well, Kevin Sanders, you know,
it seems they've taken away the first line of defense, which is who is God in our lives.
Exactly.
And they're targeting with our children with that. That our first line of defense is invisible, folks. So if they can say don't pray and all that, because the angels respond to a word, to the humility, to the submission of God. That's when the angels come. But if you take that away, that hedge, that alone exposes our children to the satanic world. But go on, you were saying something about Kevin Samuels?
Yeah, you know, when you hit a funny bone, it triggers things in people, you know? When you hit some kind of truth and you trigger it, that's with anything. And then the thing about Dave Chappelle, you know, he's not that skinny kid from Ohio that you can run up. He's like 6 foot, 180 pounds, like you run into a defensive back. Dude, man, it was funny.
Yeah.
I said, what's this guy doing, trying to bull rush him? You know, but, you know, it's some kind of spirit or something out there where these people want to attack people, man.
Well, the attack is a black man isn't supposed to stand on his laurels. A black man isn't supposed to be the voice for our people and set standards. We're supposed to just let our families, our community, our people wallow into obscurity in this confused world and only listen when a white man or others are speaking. See, and that's the whole thing. And I believe that it's almost some MK Ultra type stuff where they get these people who are in these so-called institutes that are on these meds, and are targeting other people and sending these rogue nut jobs after men, after brothers who have their mind together and can articulate what's exactly going on and is able to convey it to the population, okay? They don't want no strong black man to stand for anything in this society, and you know? So, and this is what I'm saying. When it came to Kevin Samuels, not that I've agreed with everything he said, but when you look at the surface and of what he was bringing forth, it was for the positive. He was trying to do what? Help our people raise the bar and to actually understand the value of family, okay? And I've seen many women call up Kevin Samuels and thank them for saving their marriage at a time when most people are just walking away from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If men are taking the mantle now, they're taking position, and they no longer going to be in position where they're being told what to do. And, you know, and it took a voice like him to stand up and say, nah, no more. This is that Willie Lynch crap. Okay? Nah, it's time for order now. So I respect that part of him. You understand? And also, listen. Also, letting sisters know, stop fishing for things that are outside of the demographic. It's okay to settle for a man on your level. It's okay to not look at the men who are not at a certain financial status as dirt. And if they're not making as much as you're making, then that means they don't qualify. When someone try to hold you to qualifications and standards, it's insulting. So that conversation had to be had. I believe it did, where people stop looking down on your own people. And we have a system that's emboldened where it's okay for people, sisters, to outright just say what they want about men. So I believe that conversation was had was like, nah, You can't say what you want about your man. You can't be out there saying man ain't nothing and that gets celebrated and telling all men are dogs and all these things we've been hearing for years that have been denigrating our image as men. And then you want to embolden us to be out there to save you and be there in instance when now you're being attacked. So I believe that conversation needed to be had, though. You understand? And I feel sorry for his family and what happened, but
yeah,
he brought forth the uncomfortable conversations that leads to what?
Yeah.
That leads to what? Us coming back and saying, well, listen, let's recalibrate this. Let's talk to one another. Let's not give up on one another. And a lot
that's
of times
like
we tell people, yeah. Well,
that's just like you when you're bringing out stuff, you know, and everything. You got to go to Patreon. You know, I've been in the academy like 5 straight years, me and my wife.
Thank you.
And I don't understand what this guy's up there tripping about some money or stuff. Man, I could pay his doggone thing if he wanted to go to Patreon. I pay his doggone thing. You know, it ain't that much money for what information is coming out. You know, because I have an LLC of my own music company where I'm starting a school for children to get them learn languages and music at a young age so they can develop themselves. Because if I didn't have that when I was young, I wouldn't be the person that I am. And it costs money to do these things, man. Just like your musical thing, royalty, it costs money. Ain't nobody giving you nothing to start these things up and going. I don't spend $10,000 just recently, you know. And these people up here talking about, hey, man, I got a show I got on May 20th. If I got to do, man, that stuff costs thousands of dollars to get that thing going. I ain't going to make nothing out of that. You know, hey.
Well, thank you.
And
people
that just don't know. Thank you, and
brother.
I bless you. God bless you.
Bless you, and you have a blessed Sabbath and a blessed Feast of First Fruits, okay?
Yes. Amen.
All right. Bless you. And what the brother is speaking of in particular was one guy called at the end of our show asking, why isn't the academy for free? And it's like, it's a shame when it comes to something that our people do. It's our own people who's looking at it negative or looking not to find a way to support something that's constructive and beneficial for our people. Our people are not supposed to get anything for their sacrifice. And see, and that's an inherent curse that's taught to our people. You're only supposed to support the other nations. I don't see no one sitting outside of those beauty shops and all these other stores the nations are doing. Our people are freely giving these other nations going into our communities millions of dollars for sucking the life source, which is finances, out of it. But they'll see something growing and growing and growing. They'll be like, Bible, and they get money. That ain't right. And then they're going to try to frame it in a way in which to make people believe that we are withholding information from the masses. That's how they'll frame it. If you know that stuff is so important, why can't it be free? As if we're not here 3 times a week with the same important information that's not constructed, what, in a school frame? Okay. So it make you believe that we are actually withholding something that you don't know. And that's why the brother brought out, said outright. The brother is outright wrong in stating that the academy should be free. That doesn't make any sense when it comes to the literature, the research, the time, the staff, the platform that charges us thousands upon thousands of dollars. You wouldn't believe what they charge us to actually stream every Sunday. And if we go over a certain hour, it's about $1,000 every hour we go over. But he don't see it because you know what? He don't believe his own people are worth it. To have something that we can put together that the Most High arranged, that we put together, that's what? That's beneficial and it's ordered. It's constructive. Okay? It's ordered. But it takes a staff to allow something like that to come off and make sure you got thousands of people in at once and everyone is getting attended to. Okay? He don't even know how much it costs so that we can do what? the mass email sent out. That's a cost for that. Okay, to send out the email so that everybody can get what they need. And then it's a test in between the week. What it costs to actually set up the web page and all these. And it's a shame that we have to actually explain that to people. There's nothing you can do on this earth that's for free. And we have to explain that to people. Oh, no, you're selling the Bible. That's how, you know, but really, like I said before, it's some vitriol. They have a problem. Because why? Because they have a problem with people listening to our church. And if they set it up, if they knew how to set it up, they know that no one would be listening to them. And it's envious and it's hatred that comes behind. They don't want to support it. They don't want us to be able to take the finances to actually put it into something constructive that can help our people in the future. They'd rather just pay the Gentiles while the money is sucked out of our communities. That's what they'd rather do. They don't want to see any of us rise. You know what I mean? But guess what? I rebuke that behavior. And it's time for that young man and others to raise their standard. To understand that don't try to bring Christ in it, because Christ said where your treasures are, your heart shall be also. Will Christ do that? Will Christ do that? Of course he would. Of course he would. He sent the disciples out without purse or scrip and said a workman is worthy of his hire. Whatever you get on this road, it's what the Most High put out there for you. Why? Because you've walked away from this world. You're not asking this world for anything. You're doing the will of my Father. Whatever he put on the road is your blessing. Use what I've instilled in you. Right? Next call. And I don't want to talk about too much in the academy. That stayed within the frame, but I'm glad the brother brought that those points out. 757 area code. You have your hand raised?
Shalom. Shalom. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. The floor is yours.
Yes, sir. This is Brother Andre Richard from Virginia Body. I'm gonna try to keep it short.
Yes,
I want to answer your question. I want to answer your question, but also speak on the Kevin Samuels situation very briefly. I don't have kids, but to answer your question, I'm only 26, and I ain't in a rush for that. But to answer your question, what I do with my little cousins, because I see them getting indoctrinated in school, I have competitions. They always ask me for a little money and little gifts and things like that. Anyway, so I'll tell them, read a chapter in Proverbs or Psalms. Give me a report of what that chapter was, and I'll give you just $5, $10. I'll take you to the store. I'll buy you the video game. I'll do those things. Sometimes I'll give them a book and say, finish this book before me, and then, you know, we can have a conversation. So I try to just more structure that way as much as I can, kind of like make it fun.
So in a nutshell, and that's good. You would, like when we were growing up, you are incentivizing them in the correct direction. You want something from me? Okay. I'm going to require some growth from you.
Yes, sir.
Something,
absolutely.
Something that can help you produce in the future. Great, great way of dealing with it.
Exactly. And what it does is, like you said, and this the very same reason, the very thing that this does is the very reason they took prayers out of school and the very reason that sisters are upset with Kevin Samuels, because what it does is it gives a conscious morality. It teaches accountability. And once we are accountable to ourselves, we have to raise our standards. Like you said, we got to raise our standards for ourselves and for others. I want to give an example, Elder. Like Kevin Samuels wasn't perfect, but his verbiage forced sisters to be accountable. So whether you reject him altogether or you receive the accountability, it's going to force you to raise your standards or change your standards. You know what I'm saying? Because like Christ didn't choose this that he's going to serve. So if you reject the truth altogether, we know who you serve. But if you receive the accountability, then you get to change your standards. You get to grow. The last example I want to make, Elder, that I think a lot of liberals really don't get, Elder, is, and I want to preface it this way, Ketanji Brown Jackson, you know, that wolf in transgender sheep's clothing, whoever she is. They're bringing her to Supreme Court, of course. And if you pay attention, like you reported on about 4 weeks ago, you reported on that what she does in her cases is she gives pedophiles a less time, a less stringent sentence for them being pedophiles.
Yeah.
The example I give to people when I'm talking about this is the Supreme Court always sets the precedents for the nation and how the courts within the nation rule. So just like the Jacobson versus the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in 1905, when they ruled that mandatory vaccines can be forced by the government, the Supreme Court has been using that case for mandatory vaccines since 1905. So what they're going to do with Ketanji Brown Jackson, she's going to rule on a case. She's going to decide that a pedophile doesn't deserve a punishment. And what's going to happen is they're going to let that case be a precedent for our children, generations going forward. So now pedophiles can get away with whatever they can get away with in this country because they brought that black woman on Supreme Court. And then they're going to say to us, it was your own sister that did it to you. It was nobody else.
And it's deep in bringing it out because eventually it brings the citizenship to a cataclysm, right? Just think about it, my brother, because eventually one of these pedophiles will be emboldened, especially if there's no legal recourse, to do something against our children, and you're going to have retaliation. We're going to retaliate. Exactly. And the retaliation can and will become fatal.
Exactly.
Now, once that happens, it's going to be the hate crimes that are going to side with the pedophiles and the LGBTQ and say, that was a hate crime for protecting my child, for standing up against someone who violated my child, and it's going to be, I'm going to tell you, this is their plan, but go on.
It's madness, Elton, you're 100% right, and it all goes back to what you said, and that's why I was double honest to you and all praises to the Most High and double honest to the rest of the elders, because what we teach is this conscious morality and this accountability. They take that away in every aspect. So now they can even put that into the law. Now the pedophile isn't accountable. I am for protecting my child. That's a shame.
Hey, listen. It's nothing but the Most High I don't have any young children in this world right now. That's why Christ said, woe to them that give suck in that day. Because I know my ministry would be listen, 100%, my ministry would be in prison. Somebody gets up to my son or whatever the case is, and I'm one of the most forgiving person it is, but guess what? There's a line when it comes to children.
Yeah.
And especially, and I believe this is why the Most High, brother, he gave me all sons. I don't believe he knew that he knew that I would be a better man to do this. If I didn't have a daughter. If I had a daughter in this system, the way these cats are operating out there, I would automatically side with her, you know what I mean, because I'm raising her to be a virtuous young lady, and someone harm her and do something to her, it would be a church ministry. I would be in church turning that prison into church, because I know that I would be there permanently. That's why the Most I didn't give me any daughters. Brother, just think about it. You have to protect your child and your wife from the womb the day she bring forth the child with these Satanists sitting there to try to inject vaccines and poisons into them. Ooh. I mean, first of all, even before that, she has to choose whether or not to have the baby.
Exactly.
She has the right to get rid of the child. Does she know what they're thinking? And then after that, if they decide the child should come, right? Then you have to ward off as parents and say, well, no, according to my religious freedoms, or because I just don't want to, I don't believe in vaccines.
Exactly.
And automatically right there, you realize what that institution was really set up for. They get the engine running where they got the nurse coming in, the doctor coming in, the caseworker coming in, as if they're incentivized to vaccinate your child, as if they're going to lose finances if that child get loose without getting poisoned. And
exactly.
Then when you escape that hurdle within this satanic maze, you get your child old enough to go to school. The child get to an age in which it has to go to school. Then you have to worry about the satanic indoctrination all over again. Are they vaccinated?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not, or if they are, whatever the case is, and then, we will decide what gender your child will begin to understand, because what you've been teaching is what was an actual construct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what you were teaching is a genealogy construct, a societal construct that determined what man and women were without the child being able to decide.
Exactly.
So then we have to get around that hurdle. right? The indoctrination. So, but with programs like this, brother, and with brothers like you out there, at least some of our children stand a chance. You have the last word.
Come, Elder. And all praise to the Most High for that, Elder. I appreciate you. Brothers like me exist because brothers like you, Elder Gaja, Elder Ariyah, y'all took the streets first. My last word is just I want to encourage all the brothers and sisters to stay strong and stand tall. There's a proper way that we can deal with people in the fruits of the Spirit with the Beatitudes and not sin and also still stand our ground. And I yield with that. We have to stand our ground in these times because nobody else is teaching morality but us. We got to stand our grounds. And I yield with that, Elder.
Well, thank you, my brother. I'm going to place you on hold. Great. He always brings some very poignant, insightful calls, and I really appreciate that, brother. I'm glad he's in the fold. 352 area code. Most High raising leaders. 352 area code.
Shalom, Elder. How are you today? I know you're blessed.
All right. I'm blessed by the best, and I'm going to be giving y'all a call soon. So, all right. Talk
yes, sir. We want to run something by you. We have a great idea, and we want to run it by you, so that'll be great. But I just wanted to I don't want to bring it up again, but just real quick on what the gentleman said about the academy. As you know, my husband and I have been in the academy from 2016. We've never complained about the fee. You can double it. We'll pay it. The news alone is worth the $150. Just give me the news for $150, because the news alone, you don't hear that anywhere else. And when I came out of the church and went in my first academy, I was all the way shook because, like, I've never heard anything like this before. It basically saved my husband and my family's life. So I don't know what he's talking about. He can save his money to Starbucks going every day because a cup of coffee costs more than the academy. Maybe he'll be able to afford it that way. But we're not complaining, those who are in it, because the value is there. As far as Kevin Samuel's condolences to his family as well. My husband and I listened to Kevin Samuel together. A lot of things he said made sense. We agreed with most of the things he said. But what is so saddening about the whole thing is the backlash and the hate that these women are saying about him in his death. That's the sad part. And then what is also sad is they're using biblical or scriptural sayings to say, well, God don't like ugly. This is, you know, God doing. That's the part that's really sad. And it shows me that this world is done. Because if this is just one man who was trying to bring out a message to help women, you know, get on the right track. He wasn't spiritual, but you just have to, you know, like the word says, you eat the meat, spit out bones, whatever. What is for you is for you. But a lot of things he said bettered us and helped us to be better women. And I don't understand why there's so much hate for this man based on truth. You know, I don't get it. It's sad. It's really, really sad. The world is done. It's been turned over to the hands of Satan. We really have to stay under the hedge of protection. And lastly, in terms of the kids...
Sister, before you do that, let me chime in on that. Mm-hmm. Let me chime in on that point. The only people that really had a problem with Kevin Samuels, because the people who believe in God and who have standards and understand the power of morality, even the women, didn't have no problem. There's women out there who would support Kevin Samuels' message, because the majority of women that were against his message have pulled down the image of what our women, the image our women once had. Right? So that's the whole thing. Women who have no problem with submission, who have no problem with God, who have no problem with man in general, had no problem with Kevin Samuels' message. But the people who are operating on the outside of God's construct had an issue. When he said, well, listen, and here's the point. A man must hold women to a standard and not accept just anything. You can't let yourself loose and go and have less care for yourself and expect a man to accept you that way. when you have left care for yourself. So he was actually challenging women to be better. And he was challenging women. And another thing he did was he said, listen, understand the choices you make at the prime parts of your life will have consequences down the line. And you cannot expect anyone to accept what you have to offer later when you gave your best parts for nothing early.
Uh-huh.
You're gonna have some outliers, some exception to the rules where women will have another opportunity to write some things, but you're gonna have a large number of demographic that's gonna be left out there without a man who they can actually die with, that they can actually,
yes,
like our grandmother and grandfather at the very end of their lives, look back at their families and say, you know what? There was ups and downs. There was times where we didn't make it, but you know what? I'm glad what we have achieved, legacy. And that's what he was trying to let people know. And during your early years and 20s and all these things, when you think you're going to stay young forever, you're going to have all these choices at a young age because your body is still intact or whatever the case is, that one day it will not be so. And he was trying to give women a reality that a lot of our grandmothers understood.
Uh-huh.
That your heyday and all these things that you think with all this attention that you're used to getting between your teens and your 20s, one day will no longer exist. And he was trying to say, it's time for you to improve these other areas outside of putting so much attention on your outward. You have to grow into a woman and understand there's consequences for young choices. And you can't expect everyone to accept you on the other end after making bad choices, because women have a smaller window to get things together compared to men. And what he was saying, that alone was the truth that was hurting the majority of people out there. He was giving you the, and at the end of the day, this is what people won't, they won't answer this question. And this is why they hated him. What he was saying, was it the truth or a lie? And if it's true, if it was true, why are you denying the truth? See? And just keep it here. Was it with what Kevin Samuel was saying? Was it the truth or a lie? And would you rather him lie to you or any person? Would you rather us lie to you? And if that's the truth, tell us that. Okay, but go on.
No, Elder, I agree with everything you just said. And even when I listened to him, even the word submission today is like a taboo, because we've been so indoctrinated with this independence as women and you don't need a man and all that. I have two daughters, 16 and 21. And I, back in the day, my daughter, go to college, get your education, make money, all this. Now in this truth, I have taught my daughters now it's not about the money. Yes, you want to find someone to provide and all of that. And it's not about, they fine, they look so good. It's not about none of that right now. It's a God-fearing, righteous man right now. This is the most valuable thing you could find in any man right now in this time we're living in, is a righteous man that hears from the Most High and is God-fearing. That's it. The money, the love, the affection, all those things come after that, because if they're doing those things, all those other things will come. That's what I'm raising my daughters, because before it was, six figures, because my daughter wanted to be a doctor and all these things. That's not even the purpose anymore. So I said, I agree with a lot of things he said, but I just appreciate you, Elder. I thank you for this truth. I know there's a lot of haters, but I use haters as my motivators. So I just want to thank you and all the elders for what you do on a daily basis for us, because without you guys and the Most High using you to bring this truth, I don't know where I would have been in this time we're living in. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Elder, for all that you do and all the elders of the body.
Okay, thank you, sister. Now, tell your husband I will be calling him soon, okay?
Yes, sir. It's a great idea we have, and we want to run it past you first.
Okay, well, I'm going to call, no problem. Thank you, sister.
Shalom, sir. Have a happy first fruits.
Happy first fruits, Gawada. All right.
Yes.
And another thing I wanted to say is not that I've agreed with everything the man did. Okay, I'm able to put things in its proper area. You know, understand what it is, the provocative, some of the stuff that's out there to get views and all that. I was able to categorize that. Kevin Samuel isn't and wasn't a saint. I don't believe so. All right. But all in all, you know, he made a mark. I believe he did what? He was a glitch in the matrix. Okay. Let me put this here. At the minimum, he was what? A glitch in the matrix. 864, area code.
Shalom, Elder. This is Sister
Shalom,
Maria
how
from
are you?
The MG. Good, good. Blessed by the best, as you say. And his name is Ahaya. Wanted to say the caller last night, my husband and I were watching the broadcast, and he was like, oh, man, I already know if ever got to get him. So...
you're talking about the guy called in with some ambiguous name, not even willing to put his name out in front.
When I was like, when he didn't even have his name, I knew. I was like, uh-oh, Elder about to get him. I was like, Elder is about to get him. So,
yeah.
I don't understand it because truly the Academy.
Am I playing in the background? At the same time? Make sure it's turned off in the back.
I know it's noise where I'm at. I just put the Patreon off. I turned it off a long time ago.
You got
ago.
Noise. Can you go into an area that's quiet? I hear that.
Yes,
you.
I'm sorry.
No problem. But go on.
Is that better?
Yeah. Thank you.
So, I just don't understand at all why somebody would have something to say.
I think it's invaluable imparted in the Academy. It is
okay. Things got worse. Things got worse, sis. Things got worse on this side of things. As far as
okay, is that better?
All right, go on.
Okay, I'm so sorry. It's my Bluetooth just automatically came on. It's invaluable what is imparted to each individual in the Academy. I mean, it's a blessing. I mean, when I wake up Sunday, I'm like, oh, I got to hurry up and get all my stuff together so I can be ready. I mean, school time, ready to learn.
That's
and
right.
I can only just praise the Most High for the GOCC ministry and all the hard work that all of our elders, bishops, deacons, and officers and just all the administrative that goes through this to put the Academy together and the broadcast Fridays and Wednesdays and for our Sabbath lessons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. So that person
has some
issues.
Yeah, that person, yeah, that brother, I prayed for him. He needs some soul searching because he's out there wallowing out there alone and think that he has it together out there by himself and not realizing the power of unity. And that there's no way to unify and do anything in this world without what? Without finances. The Bible tells us, if I've imparted into you my spiritual things, shall I not reap your carnal things? So it's going to take resources. But it's one thing I wanted to say. I'm practical, right? And solution-oriented. Usually when I'm hearing someone talk, whatever the case is, and I hear that there's an issue, automatically my mind goes into solution mode. All right, or it's what? It's just spinning wheels. We're just talking to be talking. Usually, I deal with. I'm looking at the end of it. What's the solution to your problem? So when brothers like that bring forth things, I have a solution for that. okay? Because I know what it costs to actually do this academy and pull it off. And if it can be duplicated, someone would have duplicated it by now. Right?
So he had no solution.
That's what I'm saying. No one knows better what it takes to do this than those who are doing it. So my solution is I know the cost in time, literature, staff, and all that, and platforms and equipment. I know the cost to come before you each Sunday with the Hebrew and Bible Academy. Now, if you're willing to at least, at minimum, take up that bill, and as it grows with more staff, they're going to need to be paid because their time is valuable, right? As it grows being free, you must put the bill. So my solution is, well, okay, you're saying we should have it for free. Sponsor everyone then. Sponsor the cost for it. We'll send you a bill. And you put something in escrow in advance so I understand how serious you are to make sure that the world hears this for free. So at least you can do is make sure.
The other people that call in, they say, well, I like to sponsor somebody so other people can be a part. Not, okay, it just needs to be free.
Yeah. I mean, listen, but it takes cost. It takes finances. Nothing is for free. But my solution is if you want to come in complaining about it, come with a solution, brother. You must come with what? The solution so that we can go come before you, you know, with no weight whatsoever. No weight, no cost, no burden, because we're taking care of that side of it. Okay.
Can I just have one question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know that some time before you talked about you took your money, your 401 out of the system just because you already saw you're not going to get your money, you know. So yeah. I was talking to my husband and we were thinking, I was like, I probably need to just go ahead and take my money out the 401 because I can see the trend of me losing money already with the stock markets and all that stuff. I'm like,
okay.
And invest in something that's tangible that is needed and useful for whatever upcoming. I'm just praying on it, but
it's all a personal financial decision. You and your husband discuss that together, but make sure that whatever you're taking out, that you have means of being able to, you know, make something with it that would compensate for the amount lost, knowing the penalties. So weigh it all, knowing that the system might drop one day, but make sure that you have a plan with the money to turn it over into something tangible or have it grow outside of something of that volatile type scenario it's under. All right? Because I'm under the thought that a lot of that money for the 401k and all that is already gone. Which means if everyone together tried to get their money at once, they'll have to fess up. That money been gone. But it's enough there that if those in the know can get it initially, it's enough there to facilitate those who understand what's going on. So you don't want to be there. You don't want to be the one. You don't want to be the one that where it's a run-in on the bank when everyone else realized that the coffers are empty, right?
That's why I was like, let me just go ahead and make a decision now. Let's go ahead and move the money before they say, poof, it's already gone.
Well, that's smart. You and your husband talk about it. It's an individual choice. I'm not a financial advisor, so it's your money, your scenario, and just make sure that y'all have plans well beyond just getting the money. Find out what it is, the penalties, and what to do with it. What to do with it, you know, turning those finances into something tangible that can be useful when the banks crash. All right?
Tawada, 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 Elder, Tawada.
Ayendabar. Happy first fruits. Bless you. All right. Oh, yeah. I struggled through the phone, but it was well worth the struggle. All right. Hold tight 1 second, folks. I'm going to take the rest of these calls. I'm going to take the rest of the calls, and then we'll wish you a great Sabbath. All right? One moment. All right. Going down the line, let's go through the calls. All right. 404 area code. 404.
Hi, Elder. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. Talk to me.
Hey. So I wanted to speak on just three quick topics. The first one is the Kevin Samuels topic. Being the millennial, I felt like Kevin Samuels was a breath of fresh air because I felt like a lot of people in my generation, they don't want to be held accountable for their actions. And they don't want you. They don't want to be told the truth. And I hear you speak about that a lot, as far as like, you know, you talked about it when you discussed certain topics in the Bible about people just not want to be held accountable. And I felt like you did that. And I'm also married, so some of the topics, some of the things you talked about, I felt like it just brought like a realistic approach to the way that some of the women in my generation, men and women in my generation, are dating. And I felt like he spoke to both sides equally with the same type of approach. You know, people just don't want to be held accountable, and they want to make up excuses to be the person they want to be without, you know, moral standards or, you know, expectations on them. So I was kind of hurt when I heard the news. So that brings me to the next thing, the cardiomyelitis. When I heard mentioning of that, even though I know we don't have a confirmation on what actually happened to him, the first thing my mind went to was the COVID vaccine, thinking maybe he had gotten it because of his age, being in a high-risk age group for coming down with cardiomyelitis shortly after getting the vaccine. So I definitely agree with you on that when you mentioned that. And then lastly, the Roe versus Wade. I think it's really funny how some of these big, you know, mainstream media outlets are trying to make it seem like abortion will affect the Black community, and like not being able to have an abortion would affect the Black community in a negative way. I think that is completely insane that they're trying to make this an issue that we should be concerned about, definitely at a time where we have people like Tariq Nasheed trying to push this whole reparations agenda, and then we have people like yourself that is bringing us back to the Most High, letting us know about our lineage and also about our connections with, you know, with us being Hebrew Israelites and being the true Jews. I think it's all just a complete distraction, and that's why I completely walked away from the whole, like, voting process. But just to bring it back around full circle, I think they everything is a distraction, and they are attacking people that are, like, hitting Jews in our communities, that is bringing out this crazy stuff that these people with reprobated minds are pushing on our community. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, what I wanted to say real quick is that I think one thing that hurt, in which Kevin Samuel was bringing out, that needed to really be focused upon, is the fact that there's an echo chamber that's not helping our sisters. An echo chamber in which they're speaking to one another, but none of them are getting the outcomes they truly desire. It's more so comforting each other, you know, in this digression to what he said, dying alone, letting them know it's okay or whatever the case. And I thought that was a little harsh, die alone. But the reality is not seeing what your future can be based on some of your past decisions can be scary. So I understood the trepidation, women not want to look so far down the line, knowing how many errors they've made, and that God can forgive them for what they've done, which is absolutely. But all in all, there are real-time consequences that will determine whether or not you'll have somebody at the end of your life. And I believe that was the scary part. That was the part, not that Kevin Samuels was saying it, more so that men were listening to it. Right? It began to do what? Disturb those echo chambers that they used to comfort themselves alone, without a man, after having so many choices in their earlier ages. So I believe that's what it is, more so. And it made for the discussion. Like I said, it's a glitch in the matrix. So now in your echo chambers of comforting each other when you should be doing what? Telling the truth to each other. Not encouraging women to just leave their husband or leave the person they're with, knowing what's out here. There's nothing out here that will not cause even greater mental damage to sisters. You can't go through all these people and deal with all these men and have a healthy mind afterward. It's impossible. So these echo chambers, you good how you are, girl, and no, your weight look fine and all these things, that God is going to bring somebody in your life that'll accept you the way you are. All of these things that gave us comfort without doing something about it became our echo chamber, which really became at the end of it was harming the psyche of our sisters. And he stepped out there and was like, well, no, this is not what men want. The men that you are actually holding out for expect something from you, right? They expect something. And know what men want? That's right. Men want the women God intended for us. And on the other hand, women should be able to get their expectations fulfilled, right? They should be able to, if they got a bucket list and expectations, these expectations should be fulfilled if they've worked to become that woman God intended for man. So, but it takes work. And I wanted to put that out there, right? Well, thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Appreciate you, all right? And I'm glad. How old are you, sister?
I'm 30.
Good, good. Well, hey, it's good to know the millennials and those within that demographic, you know, was able to receive any constructive criticism in honesty without being offended. And that comes... And believe it, that's a certain level of maturity that comes with people who can look at something and say, well, you know what? It's true. I'm willing to deal with it. You understand? And if the shoe fits, wear it and correct ourselves if you fall on the wrong side of it. Thank you, sister. I appreciate that. And I'm just I'm talking about truth in general, not Kevin Samuels, all right, in general. I'm just using that as a talking point. But this is what the Bible says about those who hear the truth and want to deny and seek to deny it. Isaiah 30 and 8 says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. Isaiah 30 and 9, that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. And one of those laws is submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. And I think that was the real reverberating thing. That word submission to the modern day society when it comes to it is like what? It's synonymous to abuse, the way they're throwing it around. Submit. Submit to what? Submit to who? As if it's abuse to submit. He's controlling. No, controlling translates to not allowing me to get myself in position to find someone else. That's what controlling is. No, you shouldn't be out there in the streets. You shouldn't be out there at the club. You shouldn't be out. He's controlling. Controlling translates to not allowing me to get in position around others who may one day replace you. And these are a lot of things, these conversations that were out there that was now being highlighted where men was like, well, no longer are we going to deal with that. We want what God wants for us. All right? That is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to seers, see not, and to the prophets prophesy not unto us right, but speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Get you out of my way, like I'm glad he's gone. Get you out of my way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Don't hold us accountable to anything. And it's talked about in the Bible. It's in the Bible. That people would be like, tell me lies. Give me an echo chamber that would make me feel good about some of the tough decisions I've made. Instead of working my way through those tough decisions and becoming a better person for it. Lie to me and tell me there's no consequences for my past choices. 850 area code.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom, how are you?
I am blessed by the best, and his name is Ahayah.
What you laughing about? What are you laughing about? I hear you laughing. What are you laughing about? Huh?
I want to say this. In agreement with what the previous gentleman caller stated about the standards that Mr. Samuels brought out that women had to look at to realize that we needed to step into those standards, and that's why he was hated by a lot of the women that listened to his show. And then also piggyback with what you just stated and comment to the young lady that was just before me, the sister that was before me, when you stated that work has to be done in order for us to be able to walk according to the will and the commandments that the Most High set for us, standards of our character. And a lot of times, men and women, but Mama talk about women, a lot of times women don't want to do the work that is necessary, especially when that work is on ourselves. Well, especially if we have... Well, what I used to have was this Felicia Fix-It syndrome in my past. I used to think that I could fix people. Yeah, that was real. I'm sure the father got a lot of laughs off of that. Like, you broken child is going to fix somebody else. Okay. But when you realize that you need the fixing, a lot of times we don't want to put the work in that's necessary for us to be fixed by the Father so that we can be that compatible helpmate to the man that the Father brings in our life. So that's the one statement I wanted to say. The next thing I wanted to answer your question, which is why did they take prayer out of the school? And you put a video on at the beginning of the YouTube broadcast with the young Judite that was singing praises to the Most High.
I need you, Ahayah,
realness. Yeah, with the Most High's name and Christ's real name. And that's exactly the reason why they took prayer out of the school, because they recognized that if they would have kept prayer in the school and truth in the churches, that Judah, the descendants of Jacob, would have grown up, especially young men like that young man, would have grown up to be a man of standard, where his very presence, without him even opening his mouth, walking into
Hold on, one second, one second. Sister, one second. One second, sister.
Oh,
yeah. This is a good one, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. All right. Let me... right, let's get you some headphones, yeah?
All right.
Oh, Elder Lawyer said he wanted to step in the broadcast. So I, hold on, sister, I got Elder Lawyer with me. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
All right. 1 second. All right, let me get some headphones for Elder Lawyer here. Check inside there real quick to see if there's some headphones, young man. If not, it's okay. Okay. Hold on. This is what we do. Open it. That adapter. Okay, let's do it this way. Don't worry about it. You can get this way. Right. You'll be able to hear on my side.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. There you go. Here you go, young man. That'll work. Okay, this is how we do it. All right, sister, go on.
All right, like I was saying, the reason why they took prayer out of the school and the truth out of the church is because they knew that that young descendant of Jacob would have grown up to be a man of standards, of moral righteousness, that just his very presence and walking into a place without even opening his mouth would have commanded.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening. Go on. Don't stop.
It would have commanded a standard that not only other brothers would have had to step into, but also the women would have had to step into. And that's not they wanted to perpetuate when it came to our image. They wanted us to, they want the people to believe that we are less than, or we're supposed that we're not, that we're part of a human being or one third human or whatever it was they claimed we were, one fifth or whatever it was they said in the Constitution. But they want the masses to think that's what we are. So they took that, the truth away, and took the prayer out so that what Ahayah created us to be seen as would not be seen as. And as far as that young man that had a problem with the $1.67 per day breakdown of the academy classes, why don't he just look at them like it's tithes and offering? Because that's what tithes and offering is for, the work of the ministry inside the ministry. And that's all I wanted to say.
Well, sister, there's a few things, and I think you hit home. You hit home in a lot of areas here. The first thing you were saying is about, you was talking about the Kevin Samuel situation where most, you're speaking on women in particular, who really don't want to do the work, right? That they understand it comes with work. Even relationships come with work. Not expecting someone to just accept you as you are. And it's one thing when you said that, because Christ requires man and woman to do work. Faith without works are dead. And that holds someone to a standard and tell them the way you are isn't good enough doesn't feel good, right? It doesn't feel good
right.
to hear that. Well, what you are right now doesn't qualify is the word. And that's why people would say stuff like, well, it's not whether or not he's telling the truth. It's the tone from whence he bring it. Because I don't like the way it feels when it sits in me and I realize it's talking about me. Not that it's incorrect, but it was one question that would turn it around. Now, mind you, it's one question that would turn it around, Lawyer. And I love this question that the brother used to pose. Because when he would ask a question, I've seen how he was doing it, right? He would ask what they want from a man first. And it used to be a bucket list of things that if a man doesn't fit any of this,
right.
He doesn't qualify for her. And you know why he did that first? So that when it turned around, you can't say it's not right to put out qualifiers, qualifications. Because every woman has an expectation of the man that they want. But then he would turn it around. Here's the question. What does the man you want? That was the key question right there. Because guess what? There was no bucket list for that. When that list should have been made first, what does the man you want? Because with a man with all these qualifications, if he has all these qualifications, then what? He's not the pick of the litter. I mean, he is the pick of the litter. He's really the outlier. He's really the one that everyone else is going for too. So when he used to make that statement, what do the man you want? That was the key question, because now what? You have to now meet that expectation. And this is exactly what they didn't like. They didn't like the fact people, I'm talking about the people who didn't like him. Because what? Don't we deserve in reason what we want, or at least at minimum what God said we should have if we meet all these bullet points, these standards you'll put out here for a man? Okay, I'll be all that, but will you be what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they didn't like. That's what people didn't like. Because now, then you have to wonder, with this bucket list, this list you have for a man, okay. Now you have to put that list together for the man you want. And that was a great question during his time here. He said, no. Good men are like pure gold. They're rare. So at least, here it is. If a man do present all these things and is a provider, takes care of his home, makes it where you're financially set, where you don't have to worry about things, right? What should he receive in return? Should there be no level of humility, gratefulness, and submission that would come with that? Or are you just entitled to that? Right? Or are you just entitled to what he worked his way to become? So these are the questions and others that we, and I'm sure the brother didn't know that he would be passed on. He had many plans to finish doing what he's doing, but it shows you the power of the Most High also. Where he can intervene where you think you have tomorrow, and he can take you out today. But how many people leave without making a mark in this earth? So this is why I want to talk, when we do speak of him, we have to speak of him in terms of the Most High had him come here. Did he do what the Most High sent him to do? Did he actually make a mark in this earth, or a name that will continue,
yes, sir,
that started a conversation that was needed?
Mm.
All right, I'm going to place you on hold, Elder Lawyer. I'm going to place you on hold. Anything you have to say, Elder Lawyer, real quick. Let me put this on hold.
Yes, sir.
Before the next call. All right. We have 90 seconds before the line goes out, right? So if you're going to get in now, 515-605-9327. All right. All right, hold on. Let me put that on hold. And let's go to the next call. But Elder Lawyer, what you have to say on that? I know you probably have, you had something to say, right?
Definitely. I tried to text you and try to get all that going to come in.
All right.
Without getting some errands going before the Sabbath come in. But
oh, you wanted me to bring you in here?
Yes, sir.
And you said you had to come, right?
I'm like, I got to come.
All right, come on. I seen him lurking out the window. I'm like, what the heck? All right, come on. What you got, Lawyer?
Yes, sir. So just speaking first and foremost on the topic, before I even get into my remarks, before I forget this point, I think the last thing you said was most poignant. Irregardless of what people may think or feel about you and the opinion that you may carry or how you may present yourself, what you may present to the world, ultimately the question has to be, what legacy do I leave? Right, wrong, or indifferent? What legacy do I leave? Did I make a mark? What was the effect of that mark? Because as you stated, a lot of people go and they don't leave any mark. There's no one. The fact that people are talking about this man and his passing, conversations have been spawned all over social media after his passing.
Yeah.
So it's like he was viral in life, and now he's viral in his passing. And I believe that conversations are going to be going on for much longer than just this period concerning some of the content and some of the conversations that were sparked from his content. And that's the key thing. What mark, if you were to be taken from this earth today, because I'm pretty sure yesterday he didn't think that would be his last day.
Yeah.
So if you were to be taken from the earth today, ask yourself, what mark have you left? Now, leading into the main conversation of the topic, why they took prayer out of school? And I think the answer to that question is, I believe they took prayer out of school for the same exact reason they took fathers out of the home.
Mm.
Prayer, as you mentioned earlier, is a defense. Prayer is how we get the defense and the protection of the Most High on our side.
Yeah.
So through prayer, when you're consistently and constantly praying, persistently praying daily, that keeps the Most High at the forefront of your mind. So it's very difficult to go through praying three times a day and still and not consider what the Word of the Most High says concerning the various things that we do throughout our life. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to entertain to communicate with the Most High through prayer and not seek His Word when it comes to what He says about alternative lifestyles. So it's very, so switching that over to the fathers, okay? It's very difficult if you have a strong father or a strong male presence in the home to allow certain lifestyles to persist within the home, to allow certain activities and certain traits to exist within your sons or your daughters, which will allow them to sway to an alternative lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that the same reason they took those prayers out of the school is the same reason that they decided to foment an agenda to remove fathers from the home. Mm-hmm. There's no protection from on high, and there's no protection here on earth. So now your children are open game. Mm-hmm. They have no protection. Okay? Now, switching back, this is my last point.
Go ahead.
Switching back to the Kevin Stanley, because this broadcast is all coming out.
Is all encompassed, right?
Yes, sir.
It's around full circle, right?
Yes, sir.
Go on.
Yes, sir. And that video you played of the grandfather who came on the behalf of his grandson to the school to speak and to address that teacher about the evil that they're trying to put on that child, that is a prime example of why they need black fathers or fathers in general out of the home. When you take fathers out of the home, there's no one to hold the world accountable.
Yep.
For the evil and for the agendas that they're trying to push. And she's so focused. She's not focused on the fact that he's upset that you put his grandson in a skirt. She's focused on his tone, how he's saying it.
Exactly.
I don't like how he's, he may be correct, but I just don't like how he's saying it. And that leads us back to Kevin Samuels.
Yep.
How many times you've heard people say, well, I agree with what he's saying. Some of the points make sense. But I just don't like the tone. I don't like how he's saying it.
Yeah.
And to me, that's disingenuous. And I say why. And this is coming from a person, again, everyone is going to say, I don't agree 100% with everything he said. Okay? Even if you do agree 100%, you have to put that out there just as a disclaimer so that you don't catch the heat that he caught. Right? But nonetheless, we don't agree with 100% of everything he said because everything he said does not align with the Most High Scripture, and that's our foundation. However, there are things that he did say that are in line with Scripture.
Exactly.
And those are the things we agree with.
And those are the things initially, well, as a whole, the people are pushing back.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think a lot of people alluded to this. I believe even alluded to this a bit earlier. When you ask people exactly what it is you disagree with, it's like they're very standoffish because they know if I say what I don't agree with, I'm going to look like a fool.
Exactly.
Like, I don't agree with using my body to party up in my youth and not protect my innocence and protect my honor in youth to save myself for the person that I believe I deserve. I don't agree with that. If you say that, you look kind of weird. You understand what I'm saying? You look wrong. So a lot of people, they don't like to outright say what it is they don't agree with. So I'm listening to various conversations and what people stand, and I'm hearing people say, well, there's a lot of things going on against black women. Black women are being abused. Black women are being pulled out of vehicles, and black women being shot in the street. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything that Kevin Samuels said? So this is my last point, okay? And this is why I think that that whole thing of how it's being said is disingenuous. I believe earlier this year, Tashina Arnold, the sister who used to play Pam on Martin, she put a post on somewhere in social media. I'm not sure exactly where it was. I think it was Twitter or one of those places.
Yeah.
She posted a conversation or a question. What can we as black women do to empower our men and not take their strength away from them? Now, this was a message. This wasn't...
That's a good question. It weren't her attacking. It was starting a conversation that would do what? Lean towards our sisters supporting or giving us what we need to become the strength for our communities.
Exactly. And this wasn't verbal. This was through a message.
Yeah.
So you can't say it was her tone, but yet sisters ripped her a new one.
They ripped her apart. Because because we don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Anytime someone talks about doing something for a black man that falls in line with God's law of submission, it's really outright because there's some underlying contentment. They don't deserve that.
Right.
They don't deserve that. Because when it's put out there for us to be supported, just us, who's on the front line attacking it?
Right.
It isn't all these other people that we're saying we're choosing. You got young boys choosing other races of people. And all this, it's not them at the front line attacking the notion of our men being emboldened as what? The respect we should garner from our own people. She was a sister and got attacked. Mm. Telling, what can we do outside of, what can we do that hasn't been done to show that we support our men? And she got attacked.
She got attacked. And another example, my last point, Monique, I think this was last year, she put a post up on, this is a verbal example of her presenting her feelings on sisters and how they present themselves in public.
Yeah.
Certain things that they wear in public that's...
Bonnets. she was talking about house clothes, wearing house clothes and slippers outside.
Yeah, pajamas and all that kind of
stuff. Yeah, like as men, do we garner any level of effort of how you present yourself as the female version of us in public? Slippers, bonnets, this, that, and the other, and even the sister came out, Monique. And she was like, sisters, we're in the airport with bonnets on.
But it's not just it's how she said it. She said, sisters.
She says, my baby.
My baby.
My baby.
All, she gave the soft word and the soft speech. And my sisters. She came with all the smooth stuff that people are claiming is the reason why they don't like the abrasiveness of, let's say, Kevin Samuels.
Yeah.
But she was still, I'm sorry.
She was dragged.
Yeah,
she was dragged. And see, go ahead. You got your phone?
Yeah, yes, sir. She was verbally assailed.
Yeah, but go on.
Yes, sir. She was verbally assailed, even though her tone was not abrasive. So the question is, what is the real reason why people are pushing back? Sisters are pushing back on some of these conversations. Is it because, as you read earlier in Isaiah 30:8, rebellious children that don't want to hear anything that's going to cause us to have to look in the mirror and hold ourselves accountable. And with that, I yield.
Yeah, and it's about what? It's about self-correction and get to a point where we're able to not criticize and bring someone down, mm-hmm. but to correct each other without pushback. For a long time, it was weighted this way, where it was okay to say whatever you want about brothers, not realizing the consequences of that, where no one would value us if what? If you didn't value us.
Mm.
And now the scales are tipping the other way. Right? And I think the Most High's in it. Saying, well, listen, you reap what you sow. You put something out on people and you start talking down on your protectors. Don't be complaining about not getting protected. It's time for a reckoning. It's time for a reasoning one amongst another. And I believe that was the point in the matter that the brother was able to bring a conversation that men should no longer be silenced. Because at the very end, the world is going to need us. You are going to need us to stand because the armies are coming. The food has to be preserved. All of everything the Bible was talking about that would lead to what? An apex with the nations coming against us. You're going to want men who are prepared to do what? Face it and succeed through it. And I believe that's why the Most High is making these conversations, because the weak men that have been developed while they were putting men down, if these men are at the front line, none of us will survive. And I believe these conversations are being had where men are no longer going to be silenced or disrespected by people we take care of.
Absolutely.
Would you taking care of somebody, being a protector and looking out for someone, it comes with some level of appreciation. And the only appreciation men are looking for is some level of what? Some reciprocity, some respect for what we're willing to put out there, even our lives for those we love. Okay? And you have a lot of people out there who feel that, no, a man don't deserve that, especially a black man. And guess what? Those days are finished. And this has nothing to do with Kevin Samuels. Those days are done. When men have allowed women to start talking in their echo chambers to themselves, and men have just begun to say, well, okay, I'm going to serve the Most High. We're not dealing with it no more. Talk to yourselves with it. That's where it's going. Not a battle. Letting the destructive conversation work amongst those who will be destroyed with it. And I wanted to put that out there. Right?
Yes,
Elder Lawyer, let's get to the next call.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for coming.
Yes, sir.
And I'll tell you, here we go. Next call, 912. We only got three more calls.
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Hi.
912 area code.
Hi, Shalom. Hi, I'm Maya Kamasha, Upstate Body. My question, can you guys hear me?
Yep, we can hear you.
Okay, wonderful. My question is about the woman that came forward with the grandfather who was angry and how she was talking to him in a calm voice, in a way of kind of interrogating him or trying to make him sound like he was crazy. I guess I want to know the difference, like, is it more about her intention of why she said it or how she was saying it, as opposed to the manner she was speaking? Because I was thinking about Proverbs like 15:1, where it says like a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. So I guess I was wondering, like, what exactly is the line? Because I know how Satan can kind of take everything the Most High is doing and then try to make it into something that's evil. And I want to know, how to define that difference.
Okay. So what are you asking here is how she should have responded?
How
should she have responded? Right?
Right.
Well,
by being respectful and feminine, but not being, you know, how she was.
Listen, she could have kept the tone. The tone was fine. She could have kept the tone, but still addressed his concerns with her violating the grandchild. There's nothing more dismissive than a person who is violating your own child isn't willing to understand what you're going through emotionally. And that I didn't know. At least admit to how this could have caused this the interaction. That man should have been, I didn't know. Not that I didn't know. It's just that these are the programs that are actually being that's in the school now that we are forced to deal with or whatever the case is, but there's a list that we can make sure we put your son on or to make sure that he's not a part of these particular programs. I'm sorry. I didn't know I was doing anything wrong because it is part of some of our programs that has now been allowed in the schools today. And here's some options for your son now that these particular programs are in place. I'm just at the behest of the programs that are now accepted in the school, and I'm just doing what I was told to do. But here's the tip. I understand what you're going through, especially if you don't agree with this and agree with how your child is being treated. She could have kept it the right tone, but addressed the fact that to actually sympathize, or I would say have empathy for the person who was before you, and spoke to the concerns of that particular man instead of just dismissing him. Well, right now, you're not on the list for the people that I need to talk to. Totally dismissed his presence altogether. Passive aggressiveness. Like, and she could have said out loud, I don't care who the Hades you are, without saying it. That's what she did. Because she could have stayed with that tone and addressed and show that she was concerned with the brother's concerns and came with what? A solution for the son. Well, and she didn't, and Eloy, she didn't state also, okay, oh, now I understand it will never happen again. That would have sufficed. That she understood how this was disturbing the traditional moral line that comes with that family, and that she would work to make sure it would never happen again to that particular child. She could have said that in the same tone, but no, she couldn't even assure him that it wasn't going to happen again after 2 days in a row, which made her tone even more indignant. You understand?
Yeah, perfectly.
Yeah. So she didn't address his concerns. And that was the issue. All right. Let me place you on hold and we get to the next call.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sister. You're welcome. Next call. We only have two more calls. 631 area code. You're live.
Shalom, Elder.
Shalom.
This is
Shalom.
Is that a Kai from New York body?
Okay.
Hello?
The floor is yours.
Hi. I did have some information to bring out concerning the water. For the Watch the Water documentary, I wasn't able to bring it forth before. It's some quick information.
Okay, go on.
There's a website called EWG.org where we can look at the contents that are in our waters. It's very important information to see what's in our waters, and it's a lot more than what we think is in there. I mean, our tap water is technically poison. Once you look at it, you just go to database and you enter your zip code and you can find what contents are in your water and at what quantity also. There's a website called findthespring.com. Most of our people could be closer to one than they think. That water is actually a lot healthier than, bottled water. It's mineralized, it's alkaline, it's safe, and, you know, it's unlimited and free. All you'd have to do is just bring your own containers to, you know, go and pick it up and, you know, the natural way. But,
okay, so what you're saying in a nutshell here, what you're saying here is that for those who would like to know whether or not their waters are contaminated, they can go to EWG.com, you stated?
.org.
EWG.org. Hold on. I want to make sure I have it here myself. Thank you for the information. EWG.org. You can go there, put your zip code in, and find out if there's contaminants in your water. And then if you understand the stuff that's in your water isn't drinkable, make provision. Do what you can to filter out those things, but it's best to know what's in your water. And the best thing about this that you're saying, I'm glad you have this site, brother, out there, is that you can, when you see if the poison's in your water, you can look at the side effects for actually consuming these particular germs, particles, or metals. And you'll understand that some of the things you're dealing with could be directly contributed to the water you're drinking. So not just go there and go and find out what's there. Look at some of what's in your water and see what are the long-term effects of actually consuming it, these metals or the poisons that are out there. It could be mental issues. It could be lack of concentration. It could be leading to what? A lot of metabolism issues, infertility, you name it. So, brother, I'm glad you put that out there because that's a resource that our brother and sister can utilize. And I'm glad I didn't put this out on YouTube because you put that on YouTube. No sooner they hear that we know about this, they'll probably shut that down too if they know we're looking into the clean water. But go ahead. What's the next? You have the last word. And the other one is
findaspring.com.
Findaspring.com. Findaspring.com. We can go there and look in your respective area to see if a spring is next to you and how to get access to it. Because I remember my father, he used to work at Bethlehem, PA, and he would bring back jugs of spring water to drink. So, all right. Thank you for that, brother. Anything else before we segue to the last call?
Con, yeah. So all of our water is contaminated. They're contaminated to very high levels. Like, for instance, my province has 43 total contaminants and 9 exceed the health guidelines, and most of those contaminants are radioactive and carcinogenic. So it's not just because of the remdesivir or whatever the case may be that we want to avoid tap water. Even because I've worked in a water store, I was manager of a water store when I first came across GOCC, so I figured I'd be in a good position to you know, divulge this information. But even when it comes to showering in tap water, you know, for instance, if we were to shower in hot water like a lot of our sisters do for a long period of time, we absorb about 0.5 gallon of chlorine in a matter of 10 minutes. So, and chlorine is highly toxic to our lungs, our skin, it damages our hair, and it can cause cancer also. So a lot of the times we're looking up in the sky at chemtrails, we're looking at our food and stuff like that, but the water is our number one source of poison because we're showering in it, we're breathing in it, we're drinking it, and it's definitely something that we should take more seriously to avoid as well, or filter.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, we got that, brother. And let me get your name. I'll call you off because I'll call you outside of the show, and we can discuss this water and probably get another discussion through Patreon with you on with some of the resources. Okay, let me get your name.
Yeah, absolutely. Zedekiah from the New York body.
Okay, Zedekiah. Okay, the water, brother.
No, I am the bar.
All right. Well, thanks again, brother, and I'm going to place you on hold, and we're going to end it with the next call, okay?
All right. Shalom, Elder. Happy Feast of First Fruits.
Shalom. Thank you. Happy Feast of First Fruits, and I'll be calling you, brother. Shalom.
Okay. The water.
And the bar. 773 area code, last call for today. Thank you, Elder Lawyer, for coming with your presence.
Yes, sir.
When I seen you walking around, I'm like, hey, I'm glad it wasn't an emergency. It's not very rare. You walk around. I'm like, is that Elder Lawyer out there? But I'm glad you came.
Try not to make any extra noise and disturbance.
Next time, but don't worry about it. Next time I'll have my phone up.
Yes, sir.
Did you text to I didn't even see you. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's good. That's good.
All right, last call, 773 area code. Last call for today. Shalom.
Shalom, elders. How are you?
Blessed by the best. Talk to us.
Yes, and his name is Ahaya. This is Lola. I'm calling from Chicago. And I'm calling in regards to the prayer in schools. And I do want to say I have extended my condolences to Kevin Samuels. But I don't know why they took prayer out of school. I feel like that does make us weak or weaker or make the children weaker, and they have no solid foundation. But I have a few things that I've written down, and I'm going to about what I've experienced as a parent in Chicago public schools. And one, for example, okay, here we go. Children being sexually assaulted, and the principal called her frat bro instead of calling 911. Another one was a child was injured. He had to go to the emergency room. They didn't call an ambulance, but they cut off the stockings on the child to cover up the blood loss. And when the child gets to the hospital via ambulance, they think it's child abuse. And then, let me see.
And these are the things. Hold up, sister. These are the things you personally experienced?
Yes, sir. But I'll get to it. A child wrote a story about fifth or sixth grade about a Caucasian teacher who was getting a degree from the University of Chicago, allegedly, and she was mistreating the melaninated children, and my child was very uncomfortable, and I had a meeting with the principal, the teacher, and the staff members, and on various issues and occasions, and I escalated the chain of command, and it's been impossible. Arnie Duncan was in charge at the time. He did nothing. He was never accountable. He was never around. And I brought all of these issues and more to the attention of the former mayor at the time, Mayor Daley, and I gave him dates, times, places, names, and the events that took place. And let's just say it appears to me that the principal was relieved at the end of that following school year. Mm-hmm. And she and her staff, they didn't like me. They called me names, say I was too high strung. But I had to hold them accountable because they have that power of parentis locus. And so they're the parent to our children when we're not there. And, let me see what else that I wrote. Yeah, they got the nerve to be upset because I'm involved and I'm hands-on with my children. They were very upset about that. But, and it's even worse because the melaninated principal allowed the Caucasians and the others to run over our children, mistreat them. They come in the neighborhood, gain all type of whatever they have to get, knowledge or whatever research they're doing and experiments they're doing on our children, and go back to the colleges and get
sister,
their degrees off of us.
Okay, sister, we can't go through them all, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the father during all of this?
We're divorced.
This is what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
When there's a point of emphasis that's really should be drilled down on, mm-hmm. It's let's get off that real quick,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
But I think Elder Lawyer highlighted it more so than anything, that in order for them to actually accomplish what was accomplished, it was not just making sure God wasn't present during prayer. God is the enforcer. That's a spiritual enforcer, but to make sure the physical enforcer was no longer present. And see, because these particular, say, Satanists are keen on understanding with the conversation with the children who has male presence in the child's life and who doesn't.
Yes.
This is how they target the child who they know they'll get less pushback with, knowing the mental state or the state in general of a lot of our people within the inner cities, especially the women who are trying the best they can with what they have, but with no male presence. This is what's giving them access to the children. Now, getting back to that for solution, what have you put in place to make sure that there's a that the institutions or schools know that there's a male presence or protector in place for your children?
I have reached out to male relatives, but this was a long time ago. But at the time, they were working. My father.
No, not
other
male
people.
Relatives. Not male relatives.
Okay.
The father, not present. Okay,
Now
are these fathers from different parents, or from different men, or just one man you were married to?
One.
Okay, how many children?
One.
How old is the child?
This happened a long time ago. She's grown now. This happened about 10 years ago.
She's grown.
Yes, but I was just mentioning it because of I saw the issue. I mean, not the issue, but the video that you show with the grandson being mistreated and dressed up and things like that. But I just want to contribute some of my experiences. And but the first case with the sexual assault did not occur with my child. It's the fact that I know another parent, and I tried to help her, and she could not get any help from Chicago Police Department or Chicago Public Schools or anything in regards to getting some type of resolution for her twins. It was a guy. He had pushed one up and told him and say, hey, if you tell somebody, I'm going to get your sister, you know. And he was coming after the sister because she went and told her mother. And her mother was on it, and I helped her. Like I said, I gave her contact information, and she still could get no help. And when we had a few months later, during the summertime, when we had a budget hearing in my neighborhood with the mayor.
Let's get one more because I can't go through everything that happened with your child's upbringing there. All right?
Uh-huh.
I understand what Chicago's talking. Chicago inner city, the schools are dirt. The majority of the public schools in inner city, it's almost a phenomenon, a miracle that a child, especially a black child, can go through these schools unscathed without some level of mental illness to show for it, or criminality, or even emotionally or sexually compromised. It's very rare children go through school without experiencing something, some type of scar, some type of scar that they would have to endure or get over in their lifetimes. It's very rare. The schools were set up that way, but I think your conversation, and I'm glad, is your daughter okay now? That's first and foremost. Let me ask you that.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. She's about to get married. She's still in college, but she's about to get married, and we're just looking forward to her, making advances in life.
Good. Because I'm glad, and through the grace of the Most High, like I said, the outliers sometimes get through. The majority of us fall through the cracks. end up being out on the street on psych meds and, you know what I mean, abused and become promiscuous and all these others. And it's a harder path to actually find our way back to the Most High to make these decisions. Right?
True.
So I thank the Most High that he hedged you and gave you the strength, sister, to fight for your daughter. But we have to understand how far in between women like that are that's willing to go out there and say, you know what, I'm not losing my daughter in this crap and fight the system. So you ought to be committed to that.
I was on it, Elder. I was on it, and I was not
praise
playing
the
with
God.
Them people.
But listen,
I had
but
to call the police.
Listen, but there's one thing in particular. You are a fighter. Praise the Most High for it. But it's one thing in particular that brings us around full circle and highlight, you know, and really highlighting the day when we talking about the passing of Kevin Samuels. What he was talking about on his platform was to avoid you having to be that person in that position. To have to deal with these issues, knowing the unforgiving system and community we have to raise our children under. Like the choices that young women make have to be the right choice going forward and valuing who they are to make sure that when they make a choice at a young age, it's with a person who will value who they are and do what? And make the right choice when it comes to a man.
Oh,
with family involved so that that child is protected. So you can sit back and say, you know what? Guess what? I'll tell you what. They would have wished it was me coming there to contend against them. I'm going to let my man go on because I know when he's cut loose, that's the end. There's a period and an explanation point at the end of every sentence, and that's the security that's missing from our, you know, in our communities. That's really, sister, the protection that's needed. That's now must be allowed. It must be allowed with our women, right? To say, you know what, I'm going to make the right choice in my most impressionable years, or not impressionable, but in the attractive time of my teens into my 20s, I must make the right decision to protect my children when it comes to who I'll date and who I'll marry, okay? And I'm glad I wanted to highlight that because I think that's one thing that you brought forth, is that it's all encompassed. It's this functions we're talking about was developing a system that we would accept as norm, an entirely abnormal dynamic our communities are, compared to every other race of people who are tradition, family first, with, hold up, and their society, their communities are ran by a patriarchy.
Yes.
That's the dysfunction that have exposed this generation, our men, our young men and young women, to all the church and men are trying to fix right now. And I thank, first and foremost, that the Most High allowed a time where things were silent during Corona and all that, where Kevin Samuel said, you know what, I'm going to say it right now. Instead of us on the back end talking about the result, the end result of not doing things right on the front end, I'm going to talk about it now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about what's taboo, what everyone know exists but are keeping silent about, the boisterous, the mild, the going back and forth, the not want to be corrected, the outright disdain against men, knowing that they need our protection and the children need our protection, I'm putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that he did that. I'm glad the brother was, at the end of his life, had a statement that would have people conversate and realize the importance of men. Not being men or being put in a place that's convenient when we're needed for whoever needs us. Mm-hmm. Be it the system or anyone else. Men are important in areas I feel they are. Mm. That's convenient or that can benefit me. No. To see men for why the Most High created him. And I wanted to put that out there because a lot of what happened, unfortunately, coming up was because the void that's left there with men.
Yes.
The void of a male's presence. Or it never would have happened because they first target the child who have no what? Mentor or men protections.
Yes.
Male or female. They don't care which side. Because they're cowards. They are afraid of men. And they feel they can manipulate women through psychology.
Yes. I agree, Elder. They also they were also apprised that we were going through a divorce, and so they had to bring the social worker in to talk to our daughter, and then I had a conference with the social worker, and all she can do was tell me, you know, oh, you're a beautiful, you're attractive young lady, you can get another man. And I looked at her like, lady, this is not about me, this is about my child. What are you talking about? You know, and it was just a bunch of mess. But
yeah,
like I said,
because you know what, this is what they've done. They have put these male hating lesbians, witches,
yes,
warlocks,
yep,
in all
yep
these authority positions who have been what? I'm gonna tell you right now, these
over our
women,
children.
Yes, yes, they have been radicalized in college.
Yes.
With
yep
this feminist garbage, these and really, they, I'm gonna tell you, they've developed a culture where you would have some crazed women who are cultivated in these colleges, who are taught to hate the idea of a man.
Yes, I
agree. And feel that I have the authority to manipulate or to look at them less than. By using, and they'll use psychology. And really, it's underlying resentment and hatred. But still, there's a need for the man.
Yes.
Right? So I can't
yes
just get rid of him altogether because there's a need. There's an itch. There's an itch I have to get scratched and all this. It's using a man for what's useful for you. But still, at the same time, there's an underlying resentment for him. And that's what they're cultivating in these colleges. Okay? Now, I'm not absolving, and this is what people does. They get off topic. And I'm not absolving the deadbeat men who are not accountable for their actions. It's not about that. Okay? It's about saying, well, listen. All in all, this system has targeted one side and incentivized one side with a bankroll against the man who would oppose this evil at the very end. So it's not to say there's nothing wrong with men. There is. But one side has been bankrolled. And that's what we have to take down. The side that was incentivized to stop us from standing in our place. Okay. So I'm glad you put that out there, sister. I mean, it took a lot of fortitude and courage to state your testimony. But I'm gonna tell you what you're dealing with. I'm glad, and this is why these platforms are so important because while we're going through these things, I've gone through similar things when dealing with my son, raising my son and all that. And I'm going to tell you, when you're going through those moments, you feel that you are alone. They've perfected this in such a way. Every individual going through something believe that we're the David against the Goliath, up against this behemoth Goliath, alone with no one to understand what we're going through because it was able to perfect that. But online, we realize that, you know what, when we all come together, gathering the elect to the elect, it come to find out that a lot of these attacks on our people, it doesn't matter the city you come from, Philadelphia, Chicago, L.A., Compton, are similar. But just that there wasn't no platform where we can have the conversation to realize that this was a calculated war against us. So I'm glad there's platforms like this in which we can discuss this and say, you know what? We were being targeted. It wasn't no conspiracy. It's true. And now we can now put first God first, going back there, and put components in place to protect our people, especially for those who are of like mind and want the same things, the same outcome for our children. It's time to put God first, bring man and woman together, and finish this fight against the devil to bring down his satanic empire. Thank you, sister. Elder Lawyer, I'm going to put her on hold real quick.
Yes, sir.
And you have a blessed feast of first fruit, sister.
First fruit.
All right?
The water elders, and the same to you. Happy first fruits.
Happy first fruits. I'm going to tell you, this sister's pretty strong. She stood in there.
Yes, sir.
She stood in there. She fought for a child, and that's what's needed. Okay? Yes.